Welcome live here to this week's edition of Racing Hotspot. My name is Devin Pososny. I'm joined by my always adventurous and super hyper co-host.
I wouldn't say hyper, but...
Or maybe not hyper, but always adventurous, Mr. Jordan Jenkins.
That's a good thing.
Jordan, how are you?
I'm great, Devin. Very hot.
Very hyper.
Very hot today. It's very hot today. Here, as it will be all week.
I'm going to say, here in New Hampshire, it is 88 degrees currently. Sunny skies, no clouds in the sky. And humid. Woo! Happy race week, by the way, to all of you here in New Hampshire. The NASCAR Circus comes into town this weekend. Cup Series running the USA Today 301 on Sunday. Xfinity Series running the SIAPS 200 with the Modified Series running the Mohegan Sun 100. And then, of course, we got the Friday Night Dirt Duels presented by...
6 Hour.
Thank you. Anyways.
The only reason why I know that is because their company, their experience center, is later right down the street from where I work every weekend at Star. So that's the only reason why I know
that's cool.
How to pronounce that.
So, obviously, we need to talk about last weekend first before we talk about this weekend. So let's do that real quick. We'll jump right into it with the Short Track Saturday segment, and I will turn it right over to my co-host, Jordan Jenkins.
Oh, me?
Yeah, that's you. Yeah, that's you.
Well, I mean...
Go ahead.
I was at Star Speedway this past Saturday, where I am now going to be every Saturday, pretty much, besides like two. Up until pretty much Halloween hits. But we had a great Friday-Saturday weekend. I just do the Saturday shows, but on Friday we had... I have to remember this because we had a lot.
No pressure.
A lot of stuff happened, as I will get to. on Friday the 14th, we had... No Car Legends and Bandoleros. We had Mighty Trucks, the Pro V8s, the Junkyard Dogs, the Cruisers, and 603 Mini Cups. And I was not there on Friday, as I mentioned, but I heard that a 603 Mini Cup during practice on Friday actually went off the track and turned two and into the woods.
Ooh.
Because at Star, there's no wall. There is in turn one, like halfway into turn two, but in turn two, there's just trees, and then there's a backstretch wall. It was really just ads, so...
That's insane.
There's really no wall at Star besides, like, the outside. Inside, there's no wall. But 603 Mini Cup went into the woods. Took a little bit for them to find it, apparently. A lot of them didn't even realize it went off track. A lot of the fans didn't either. Yeah, we had... I didn't know quite how the racing went, but... I was gonna go to Saturday. We had late model Slingshot, Street Stock, Six Shooters, and the NEMA Lates joined us. And the late models, it was their last tune up before the American Canadian Tour event coming up this Saturday at Star. It also has a Pro All Star Series, a Pro All Star Series mod, and the New England Super Modified Series. We say it was a crazy night on Saturday would be an understatement.
Why is that?
It felt like a full moon the way drives were acting. We had a it was great racing all around. I mean, the late models though, they were clean the week before on the 8th, but this past Saturday definitely a little different. They wrecked 5 cars in turn 2 on the very first lap. So, and then we had like 22 late models. So we had a good number. And it kind of just, it was a 50 lap feature and it probably took us almost 50 minutes to do. And start speed is a quarter mile. So we usually do 5 laps in under a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a journey. There was a lot. I would say it was a wreck fest. Like, it was still a good race, not because of that, but there was a good battle up front with, Devin might know this name, Jimmy Renfrew Jr., who was a star grassroots late model guy.
Heck yeah.
Around here in New Hampshire, and I'd say around New England, but mainly here in New Hampshire. And Eric Sands, who are actually their best friends, were 1 and 2 like the whole race. So they battled restart to restart, obviously, because there's a lot of restarts. And they're banging doors, having a good time. They ended up coming out first and second. Renfrew Jr. ended up with the win. But something that was going around is, I'll get to the other action, but is our tech report that Star Stewart posted on Monday, so yesterday. And the Roughing Fenders podcast had a great time with it, too, as they reposted it. And we had a lot of disqualifications come and a lot of fines handed down. And I know I'm allowed to say this because the tech report's public. So in the late models, we had the number 12 received a $300 fine for verbal abuse of track officials and a post-race altercation in the pits. The 12 team also received a $150 fine for post-race actions detrimental to racing. The 55 received a $300 fine for verbal abuse of track officials and post-race altercation in the pits. And the number 8 received a $100 fine for spotter post-race altercation, which all the fans saw that one because the spotter was standing on top of the tower above the grandstands yelling down to the track officials on the track. So it's kind of obvious that fans knew that one. But
sorry, I don't mean to be laughing. It's just the way you're presenting this.
And the slingshots, the 01 of was disqualified for rough driving. So safe to say after saying that, what kind of night it was at Star. But like I said, I mean, the racing was still really good overall. We had some great racing in all our series. Star, I really think, I mean, Star is a chaotic track, don't get me wrong. But we do put on some pretty good races. And I'm not just saying that because I'm their track announcer there, but we generally, our races are like really good. And it's good to see too because our fan, we have a lot of the same fans that go every week that are like nearby. They go to Lee and Star because they're both 10 minutes from each other, 15 minutes from each other.
Right.
So you see the same faces every week. They keep coming back to Star, and you even see new faces. And our bleachers the last 3 weeks have been pretty full. And the first week, June 1st, we had the NHRAs doing a nationals right down the street, and literally right down the street.
Right.
Going on right before our show there, and we had a lot of the NHRA crew show up, and our bleachers and grandstands have been packed the last 3 weeks. I don't know what it was like the previous three because I was not there, but these last 3 weeks that I've been there, the grandstands are like 80 to 95% packed. So it's always good to see, especially at short tracks, you know. It's always good to see. Like I said, our next race at Star is the Pro All-Star Series American Canadian Tour New England Super Modifieds and the Pro All-Star Series Mods. I will not be there. That is a pass rental event. But one quick event I do want to, before, on Sunday I was at Hudson Speedway because now I'm working. I'm going to be everywhere. So the chances you guys go to a short track in New Hampshire, you're probably going to see me there. So this past Sunday, we had a great event there. It was the NEMA Lights as well. So NEMA Lights did a double header weekend, Star on Saturday, Hudson on Sunday. We had the Sportsman Modifieds, the Super Streets, Ridge Runner, Six Shooters, Pure Stocks, and the NEMA Lights. Great racing. I mean, the car count wasn't really that great. The NEMA Lights had the most of their car count, but they're a sanctioned series, so they always come up with a lot of numbers. But it was still a great show. A lot of people came to Hudson on Father's Day. But one event now that I do want to hype up, because it's a fair, I'd say it's probably one of the biggest modified events in New Hampshire, is our Racers Honoring Racers event that is happening July 6th. In Epping, right at Star Speedway. There's one of two races that I found out. The next one would be September 1st at Claremont Motorsports Park. But we have six entries announced so far, and I'll just go over those really quick. We have Jacob Perry. He drives in the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour at times, races in the Modified Racing Series. Our other entry is Jeffrey Battle. You guys probably may have heard that name. He races in the 350 Super Modifies. He races a bunch of other stuff, late models. And he's an entry. We also have the 76 of Brett Meservey. We also have a name that I'm excited to be able to see is the number 8 of Woody Pitcat.
Yes.
He is in the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour part-time, I believe. Yeah, he would be part-time. And obviously just a star modified driver here in New England. And it was just announced, actually, it was just announced now 2 hours ago. So if we did the show the time we were supposed to today, I would not have been able to say this, but our sixth entry that was just announced a couple hours ago is the number 60 of Big Money Matt Hirschman. I'm sure a lot of people know who that is. He races modifieds everywhere. Every time there's a modified event anywhere in New England, he's probably entered in. He obviously just won the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour race at SeaConk as well. And our fifth entry is the 27 of Kevin. I'm going to butcher this last name. Is Ian Arelli. But great event that's coming to Star Speedway. It is actually an MDP Motorsports rental event. Mm. So it's going to be kind of funny that I'm working at the track that I work for, but I'm not working for the track that day. So I will be there as part of the Modified Racing Series. Our third event of the season, our second one, is upcoming this Saturday at Riverside in Groveton, New Hampshire. I will not be there, which we'll get to why later on in the show. But, the Modified Racing Series schedule starts to kick up. But, yeah, I think that's it. I can't really hype up anything for short tracks this week because I'm not going to be at any short tracks this week.
Well, I mean, what is coming up this week? I know you won't necessarily be there, but you know better what's coming up than I do.
Well, obviously, like I mentioned, the American Canadian Tour, a big event happening at Star on Saturday night. But this Friday, we have at Lee USA Speedway, two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion Kyle Busch will be running in the Open Pro Stock event to try to win $10,000. He finished runner-up last year at Lee to Derek Griffith, who Derek Griffith is just a short track legend in New England. That's coming up on Friday. We have the Six Sour Academy Dirt Duels happening at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
That should be good.
I put that in quotations because I said New Hampshire Motor Speedway, but it's on their property. It's not on the track.
But it's still it's still a short track. But which
quarter mile flat track, which is always pretty cool.
And they feature short track series.
They do.
It's Sprint Cars of New England, right?
Yeah.
Be there.
And NASCAR Cup Series driver and Stuart Haas driver Chase Briscoe is going to be racing in the Granite State, what are they called again? The Granite State
Sprint Cars?
Yeah, the Sprint Cars of New England. Chase Briscoe will be running in that. So he did last year. He ended up winning. We were not in attendance, but I heard good stuff, which the Dirt Duels are always great to go to. Anyway, a lot of places always packed. And then Saturday, I don't think there's any other short tracks besides Star going on Saturday. Hudson has a Sunday fun day coming up on June 23rd, this upcoming Sunday. Hudson Speedway Sunday fun days are new this year. They have the Hudson Grand Prix. They have NELCAR Legends and the NELCAR Bandolero Spectator Races, a new series called the Hudson Hippos that are SUVs and minivans. I got the honor of seeing those a few weeks ago. The Pro V8s, a 4-cylinder, 6-cylinder, and 8-cylinder Enduros, a figure 8 race at Hudson.
Ooh.
And if you guys haven't been to Hudson, the infield is like an X.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to run part of the X and then the track too, kind of.
Right.
So the backstretch won't be used at all at Hudson for those. And then Hudson Hornets and the one-on-one spectator drag. So going to be a good day at Hudson there. I don't know. I think that's it for the weekend in the short track scene for this upcoming week.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, I mean, I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I love to see the short track scenes the scene continuing to grow and get bigger. You know, there was a time, I think, coming out of COVID where it was just, there was that question mark of, are we going to still be able to do what we love? And of course, there was also a time in the recent history where short tracks weren't as big of a lure as possible. There's many people wanted, and you know, you saw car counts down, you saw, spectator counts down, like you saw all these things down, and it was concerning. And now here we are on the way back up, which is just, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Definitely. And now I'm honored to and privileged to work in the short track racing scene. Like I said, with the Modified Racing Series, doing track announcing at Star on Saturdays, working for Race Day Productions, now going to be starting in the office and working at Claremont, Lee, and Hudson. So I literally work at four different short tracks in New Hampshire. The only ones I don't work at are White Mountain and Riverside. So I'm going to be, that's why I said, if you guys go to a short track, the rest of the summer, the chance you're going to see me. The chance is probably like 95% I'm going to be there.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. You know, glad to see you're doing good things, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So besides the short track stuff, we had racing going on around the country.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. In case you didn't know. More specific towards NASCAR, you had the Xfinity and the Cup Series at Iowa.
We had ARCA, too.
ARCA was there as well.
If people care about ARCA. I know some people really don't.
But I did
watch the ARCA race.
Yeah, I heard it was a good... I personally did not see it, but I heard it was a good race.
Yeah, it was. It was clean compared to ARCA standards, so...
That's good.
I forgot who won.
He's a diehard fan, in case you didn't notice.
No.
But no, I mean, so we had the Xfinity and the Cup Series running into Iowa... And Xfinity, this is just another weekend at Iowa, right? They've run at Iowa in the past, and you
it's been
know,
5 years
since they've last been there.
Xfinity, well, yeah, last time they were there was 2019.
Well, either way though, they've run there before, and then of course this is the first weekend the Cup Series has ever run at Iowa. And before we even get to the racing,
oh, Connor Zilich won at the ARCA race. I don't know why I forgot that.
Before we even get to the racing. Sorry. I slept well last night. I don't know why I'm yawning. Especially at 12:42 on a Tuesday.
I slept pretty good last night, too.
Yeah, whatever, Celtics fan. So let's talk about Iowa in general. Mm-hmm. This track, last time it was repaved was a handful of years ago. Track was getting older. It was starting to age. Everyone was looking forward to it. And then a couple weeks ago, there was a tire test, and photos came out of this partial repave. So basically what they did was the bottom two grooves on each end of the racetrack, they repaved it, and then about three-fourths of the way into the entry of the corner slash the exit of the corner, they had a third line repaved. And it looked weird. It looked weird, mm-hmm. And I don't know what the reasons were for. I didn't hear anything as far as reasoning. You probably saw something that I didn't as far as why they did it. Mm-mm. But immediately people were like...
I don't think they had enough time. I think NASCAR literally did the repave like 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Why wait till... Okay. If you can't... Okay, now I'm going to go off of what you just said, and that might be true. It might not be true. I don't know. But if you cannot get something done,
don't do it
in time. Wait.
Yeah.
You know, what did they do at Daytona? Daytona, they repaved part of the back straightaway around the bus stop or entrance to the bus stop where Ryan Preece wrecked last year. They left the dirt or the grass in the middle of the bus stop chicane on the back straightaway as well as the rest of the straightaway. And they said, we can't repave this in time. We'll wait till after the 500. Mm. Okay, great. That's a smart heads-up play. Mm-hmm. If what you said is true, and again, we don't know if that is, but if what you said is true, why would you rush that when you could potentially create issues, right?
Make it fun.
I mean, and I will admit, I thought the Iowa race was entertaining.
I thought so, too.
You know, so I know the going into the weekend, everyone was concerned. Mm-hmm. But leaving the weekend, I think.
Well, no, I don't think a lot of people were concerned about the repave because the troubles that arose were more during practice for Cup and Xfinity when you had tires going down after 20 laps.
Right.
The Cup Series race, obviously, it wasn't really the case. You didn't have it that bad. Xfinity Series, though, it was like almost every 20 laps someone lost a tire. And I think a lot of, I don't even know how many drivers DNF'd in the Xfinity Series, but it was a good amount for pretty much the same issue, the right front tire going down and
right.
nailing the wall.
And, of course, it never happened on the straightaway.
It always was turn one, whatever.
Yeah, right in the corner where you had nothing to mm-hmm. do. Like, you had no control. You were going up the racetrack and into that wall.
And there were some Xfinity cars that I think Sam Mayer had. No, Sam Mayer won, so he didn't have that issue. Allgaier, no, it wasn't Allgaier because he hit the
Allgaier
wall.
Allgaier did have an issue.
Some, but yeah, Allgaier did, but I'm trying to think. It might have been Ty Gibbs. Yeah, because Ty Gibbs was in that race. Ty Gibbs, I think, lost a tire on the back. I think it was the back stretch, and he didn't hit the wall because he was on the back stretch.
Mm.
So he was able to get it. So it was kind of just when you're in the turns and tire goes down, obviously, that's really any track anyway, but there was just no saving once you lost a tire in the turns.
Right. I mean, and you're right. That's the par for the course for any track. You know, it's not just necessarily Iowa. But, like, I guess my concern was going into the weekend was you have these different variants of pavement, and you usually saw when a racetrack like Iowa, like a Richmond, an Iowa, a Bristol, Martinsville. Well, Martinsville hasn't been repaved in years, but like short tracks get repaved, or any track actually, it becomes a one lane bottom of the racetrack. Nobody moves, and it could be kind of like a North Wilkesboro race,
mm-hmm.
right? Last year, not this year. This year's North Wilkesboro race wasn't bad, but. As far as racing lines, they were moving around the racetrack.
The North Wilkesboro race was very bad.
But they were moving around the racetrack.
Yeah, but it was still very bad.
Well, whatever. But my point is that was the concern. And then thankfully, that's not how it turned out, other than a couple tires going down in the Xfinity race.
More than a couple.
Oh, you know what I mean.
I'm not looking at the final list, but I'm going to go with like 10 cars DNF'd for tires going down because they nailed the wall. Could be wrong. Could be more. Could be less. A little less. But it was definitely a good number. A good chunk of Xfinity cars that DNF'd.
I got 8 cars listed as accident for reasons why they were out of the race. We have an oil line, electrical, engine, carburetor as the other ones. So... So, let's go over the top three real quick for Xfinity before I ask you your opinion on how the race was, besides tire issues. We had Corey Heim finishing third, Riley Herb second, and Sam Mayer with the win. Really good race overall. I saw bits and pieces of it. I was working a Little League tournament. But on Sunday, I rewatched the end of the race. Seemed like a solid race,
mm-hmm.
Other than the tire issues.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, tire issues are the name of the game in the racing world. What were your thoughts on the Xfinity race?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I think, I'm going to say the same for the Cup when you get to the Cup race too. Is tires, like having fresher tires, didn't really mean anything. Fresher tires we saw on stage. Mm. Well, that was for the Cup. I was about to say, but I mean. It was more strategy, like a lot of drivers on different strategies. And I think because nobody really knew when their tire was going down, because especially Allmendinger, because I'm using Allmendinger as an example because he was obviously in the Xfinity and Cup race, and he unfortunately wrecked out on both. So he said in his Xfinity car gave no like warning that his tire was going down, where the Cup car, he said there was some warning, like half a lap prior. So it's kind of, I mean, it goes to show you how much different Xfinity the Cup car is. And I mean, one of the issues I think a lot of drivers had was that there is going to be trouble to pass which I didn't really think was, I mean, I don't think there was much trouble. I mean, there was obviously, if your car was tight, you were going to fall back.
Right.
So you had to have a fairly loose car to really make gains on the field.
Right. No, I hear you on that. And like I said, I think overall the Xfinity race was really good. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, when your second place finisher is 1/10 behind you, finishing wise, and third place is 3/10, that's a good ending to a race. You know, it's not 8 seconds. You know, I think at one point in the Cup race we had another race I saw where it was like an 8 second lead, mm-hmm. and it was like close.
Yeah.
I think overall it was a good race. Moving on here real quick to Cup Series. Chase Elliott third, Byron second, Blaney won the race. I will say overall, really good race. Good first race at Iowa. It was awesome. It was a great. I pressed a button. It was, you know, it was awesome. I mean, Iowa did a great job with, you know, hyping it up, the pre-race, yeah. everything. Like, they hit the nail on the head.
I think it was cool to see all the events sold out, like ARCA, the ARCA race probably had the most crowd ever for a race for them. Xfinity race was sold out, Cup race was sold out. It was only 20,000, but, I mean, obviously probably for next year, because I assume Iowa's going to stay on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
As the fully repaved track.
hopefully. Although, I'm not, well, you know, we'll get that in a second.
I think what Iowa can do now, knowing that they sold out with just their grandstands, maybe add some temporary seating. I know that I was thinking about doing it for this year, but obviously they didn't want to do it, and then they don't sell them, so they just wanted to go with just their original seating, and obviously it sold out, and it was a success. So
yeah. I mean, there obviously you go to a new venue. Let me back up. For the Cup Series, you go to a new venue, there's the questions of all these different things, but especially after probably the last, I don't want to say the last new venue, because obviously we had Chicago last year, but the last new venue that kind of sort of had a, I was going to say that had a negative reaction.
Gateway.
What I was going to say was Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
When they ran there because they had run the Xfinity Series and truck race there, and then for years, and they brought the Cup race in, and there was a huge amount of traffic issues and infrastructure issues, and you know they fixed
it. I said Gateway because I don't quite remember. I mean, it's been 3 years because it started in 21, if I believe. The first race for Gateway was 21.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't quite remember the feedback I had there, but I know. Like, the last couple of years, like, people have hated it because you can't really pass there. Right. I mean, obviously, we had an upset winner with Cindric because Blaney ran out of gas. But, I mean, I feel like it was tough to pass there. So, that's why I said Gateway is probably, like, a track that was a new venue for the Cup Series. At least that got negative feedback. But, I don't remember
what
3 years ago, because obviously the Gen 6 car and...
I get what you're saying. I guess that what I was going at it was the event perspective.
Oh.
You know, Gateway did a great job of hosting the event. Mm-hmm. Traffic, everything was good. On-track product, But, like, Kentucky, probably the other way around, really good on-track product, but then everything around the track, mm-hmm. parking, traffic, mm-hmm. all that wasn't And from what I saw, Iowa hit the nail on the head for everything. You mm-hmm. know, on-track action, great. Event type, perfect. Traffic issues, non-existent. You know, camping was awesome. My dad made the joke that if Iowa can have grass for camping, we should have grass for camping in New Hampshire. But
we kind of mainly do.
A little different, obviously, situations compared to New Hampshire and Iowa. But, it just like... I think that they did a great job. I think that Iowa did a fantastic job. Obviously, NASCAR owns Iowa, but like when you announced that NASCAR was not going back to Auto Club and they were going to replace it with Iowa, obviously there was excitement, but there was also the question marks
of why you're getting rid of Auto Club. Auto Club's a cool track.
Well, and besides that, we can talk about that in a second. But like my point is there were so many question marks and concerns and everything, and then all of a sudden it was like boom, we're racing, you know, and we had a great event. And yes, Auto Club, that's a whole different conversation.
Since we're on that topic, I don't know if you saw the latest update, it looks like they may not even be able to make Auto Club a short track, so they probably just lost the track in general.
Unfortunately, I saw that, yes.
So that's why I say that. But
hopefully that they are able to salvage whatever they're able to salvage out there, but I have a feeling Auto Club might not be coming back, especially when then NASCAR announces that they're trying to become a part of the Long Beach Grand Prix weekend or part of the Long Beach Grand Prix ownership or however it goes. I don't know if it's ownership.
I did see something about that.
I don't know if it's ownership or if it's being a part of a partner, or I don't know what exactly the terms are, but like you then see that and you're like, well, that's Southern California. Huh. Hang on a minute here. So we'll see what NASCAR does with that. But I think overall, though, great weekend. The race in Iowa is awesome. Fantastic job having it at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night because it was prime time Sunday night. You know, I will admit I was working all day Sunday and I was bummed because I thought I was going to miss the race. And then I jumped on social media Sunday morning and it was like green flags at 7. And I was like, no way. So I was able to get home in time and watch the race, which was awesome. So it was overall a really good event, really good weekend. And I'm not going to lie, Jordan, it makes me want to go out there next year.
To Iowa?
Well, let's go. You pay for the camping, I'll pay for the gas. You pay for the tickets in the campsite, I got gas. But like in all seriousness, I think it's going to be, I hope that they go back. You know, I hope that this becomes a yearly thing, even if it means bumping another race off the schedule to keep Iowa on the schedule with NASCAR. Because, like, the other thing I saw on social media was that people were like, oh, it's going to be like Richmond. Mm-hmm. Which, if you look at the racetrack from just the shape, sure, it looks very familiar. You know, it looks like the same layout, but it's not. You know, it kind of, honestly, it gave me the feelings of a smaller Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wide, sweeping corners, you know, speed. Has a lot of speed in the corners, wide back straightaway, you know, good open front straightaway. Like, I think it's definitely not a Richmond.
No, definitely not.
So, well done there. But let's talk about tires and such, because we kind of brought it up. Tire fall off was not really a thing. I mean, it was, but then it was kind of like what you saw at North Wilkesboro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you saw that tire fall off, and then guess what? Everybody just neutralized. Right. And everybody was even. Mm-hmm. Now, you had brought up, you know, repaving Iowa. Here's my question to you. Would you?
Yes.
Or would you leave it?
No.
Why wouldn't you leave it?
Because it looks dumb. But also, I mean, all the drivers said it just doesn't look good. Like, for them to drive on it and... Like, a lot of drivers said, hopefully, like, when we come back, it's fully repaved.
So...
Because once it gets repaved, they add another groove, so...
So, I don't know how I feel about it, because part of me agrees. It looks like the highway when they're doing construction. You know, but at the same time, they just had a really good race.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? You know, like, but of course, there are going to be people who go out there and look at the asphalt, and they might look at the higher lanes and go, this is going to come apart in a year, so they might have to repave it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, my probably unpopular opinion is, don't touch it. That new pavement's going to age, you know, and it's not going to look like dark and light, it's going to look similar because, of course, the next year the sun's going to beat down on it and it's going to, you know, it's going to lose its color and it's going to be sun. The sun, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not sunburned, but you know what I mean? So it's like part of me says, don't touch it. Because I would be afraid that if you repave the rest of that racetrack, it then becomes a single lane racetrack and it's bleh. You know, I don't know. Obviously, there are people sitting in a boardroom in North Carolina right now probably having the same conversation. Do we? Or do we not? Or maybe they already have that plan.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. Just something about it just makes me say, don't touch it. Just don't touch it. Kyle Busch wrecks out. And his...
He did not wreck out.
Well, he broke something in his car.
Yes.
And had to retire.
Yes.
In his post-race interview says, oh, you know, it's just some of those next-gen parts.
Yep.
How did you interpret that?
I mean, kind of what we've always talked about, the next-gen of how does your cars can randomly break. For example, Denny Hamlin last week at Sonoma. To his car, he broke a valve in his car 2 laps in.
Oh, it's kind of funny because I remember thinking to myself the week prior, wow, we haven't seen a blown engine. And then I jump on social media and there's Denny Hamlin's car driving up the hill at Sonoma with smoke coming out of the pipes. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well.
And you see, like, Harvick the first year, like, his car just caught up in flames randomly. So it's kind of, I think it's just the next gen car can have some mechanical issues, like, out of just nowhere randomly.
So I guess my question is, was that a Kyle Busch roundabout type of way taking a jab at NASCAR? Or was he just saying in general?
I mean, it could have been a little bit.
It just happens.
It could have been a little bit of both. I mean, obviously, we know with these. This is the third year of the next gen car, the Gen 7s, I should say. I don't know why I keep calling it next gen. I can just say Gen 7. But this is the third year of the Gen 7 car, and I think I don't know. We've seen the issues that can arise, and I think. Especially the year Kyle Busch has had, he's a little frustrated now. That, I mean, there's no luck that's gone Kyle Busch's way at all this year. He's had all the bad luck in the world, so I think he's a little frustrated about how his season's going and a lot of the stuff he can't control.
So I agree with you on all that, and I will say that I think that my first thought when I heard it was, oh, man. But then I thought about it more and I'm like, I think he's just saying it in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost want to say that it was the same thing as if like a tire went down, he would just be like, well, you know, just the Goodyear tire blew.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a jab at Goodyear.
Right.
It's just, this happened. It just, I will also say Kyle Busch being Kyle Busch made me go, is he taking a jab at them? Saying, I just am now out of the race because of these mass manufactured parts that NASCAR is providing us. But I think you just hit the nail on the head. He's having a bad year. Not a slang phrase that. He's having a rough season.
I would say a bad year.
Okay, bad year. All right. He's having a bad year. And because of that, he's more or less like, what can go wrong will go wrong. And I think, yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head with that, you know? So it's tough for sure. And I just hope it gets better for him overall as the season goes on. I mean, this weekend he's running in New Hampshire. It's not a bad race for him.
Yeah, it has been the last few years.
Well, yeah.
He's finished last three of the last 4 years. So
okay,
say over the last few years, it hasn't been too kind.
So let me back up then. Not too bad of a, what's it called?
A racetrack.
Yeah, in general for him. You know, he's, yes, he has had bad seasons, but.
But at the same time, New Hampshire's not a Chevy track. We've seen, Toyota has a kind of a stranglehold on that track. He's not in a Toyota no more.
True.
I mean, the Chevys run well, and Fords do too, but a lot of, like, almost every Hendrick driver but Larson struggles at New Hampshire. A lot of the Fords struggle. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if it's more of a manufacturer, if it's just, I mean, it's tough to get around that track anyway, but Toyota just seems to have figured it out over the last several years.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I don't know. I was going to say, I feel like it's not necessarily the manufacturer, it's more the driver, but mm-hmm. I also get where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. He has had a lot of success there in the past with the trucks, with the Xfinity. You know, he won his, 100th career race there or something. I don't remember. It was 100 something. And I, you know, that sounds it's horrible for me to just be like, it was just 100 something. But like, I remember being at that race on Saturday and having him wave the flag that said 100 on it. And clearly fully memorable because I don't remember what it was. But point is that I think that he has a chance, in my opinion. Now, will RCR cars support his driving skills? I don't know. I don't know if the RCR cars can handle what he's trying to do, which I would like to believe they do, but at the same time, they haven't been so far. So it's tough, I think. And I feel bad for Kyle Busch because he made this decision to go over to RCR and he won a race.
Two.
And, not bad, but not great.
Exactly.
So, definitely tough. I don't know. But like I said, I wanted to bring it up in the sense of, was he taking a jab at NASCAR for next-gen parts or just frustrations in general? And it sounds like we're both on agreeance that it's just frustrations in general.
Mm-hmm.
All right, any other things you want to talk about with Iowa?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm good too. Like I said, well done by NASCAR, as well as everyone at Iowa Speedway to get that facility looking the way it was and doing everything, you know, to the nines. Great race, great weekend. Hope to see them back in the future. Maybe we'll make the trip out to the Field of Dreams. So, Where is NASCAR going this weekend?
I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither. Somewhere up north, right?
Northeast. Like, are they in Montreal? Is Montreal on the
schedule?
Yeah,
that's it. They're going to Canada this weekend. Yeah. You're right. No, so what do we got this weekend? We have the NASCAR Storm coming up to the Granite State of New Hampshire. Woo!
Yay.
Super excited, yay. Honestly.
Wash out. Rain every day.
Nope.
Rain and humidity every day. It's going to be like Charlotte all over again. It rained, then humid going to come, and they can't drive the track, so it's going to call it.
You done yet?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Real quick, next truck race, by the way, Friday, June 28th, 8 p.m. at Nashville Super Speedway. Just want to put that out there. Because this weekend we're talking about Xfinity and Cup and Modifieds at the Magic Mile. So, real quick before we get sidetracked and forget to talk about it, obviously you got practices and qualifying on Friday. Modifieds qualify at 4 or 5:45, practice at 2:30. There's no TV coverage of that. Xfinity back-to-back, 4:05 and 4:35, USA, watch it live. And then on Saturday, Cup Series practice and qualify.
Did you say modified practice?
I did.
Okay.
Saturday, Cup Series practice at 12:35 p.m., qualifying at 1:20, both what can be watched live on USA. And then the Xfinity race at 3:30, also on USA. And then the modified race, 6:30 p.m., Saturday evening. Watch it live on Flow Racing. And then on Sunday, the USA Today 301 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, USA Network, funny enough, green flag set to drop at 2:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Camper's already there.
Yes, it is.
We're ready to rock and roll. Should be a fun weekend overall. What are your thoughts going into the weekend racing-wise? Because obviously we're going to talk about the event in general, but racing-wise, what do you got?
Our NASCAR in the Modified Tour and our Xfinity Series field is pretty stacked.
Yeah, Modified guys, and then 33 cars for the mods.
Yep.
39 for Xfinity.
Yep. 38 make it.
A lot of Cup Series guys making the cross. So two of them making the crossover to the Xfinity race,
yep.
Which I found interesting because usually they go to the Xfinity race to try and better themselves for Sunday. So
I don't know why Christopher Bell's on.
Yeah, Christopher.
I think Christopher Bell is Mr. New Hampshire. I would call him probably.
Right.
But for the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour, like you said, 33 cars are entered. And we have one of the big storylines, I think, covering that Saturday is the 51 modified of Justin Bonsignor, who's pulling double duty on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He's running, obviously, his normal modified, but earlier in the day, he's running in his attempt, because obviously the one car will not qualify for the community race. 39 cars for 38 spots. He will attempt to make his NASCAR Xfinity Series debut in the number 19 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. So, and him doing it here at New Hampshire, I think will get a lot of people here in New England excited, because obviously the NASCAR and the Modified Tour is really popular here in New England, and having a guy in the full time in the Modified to go up in either the Cup or Xfinity, in this case Xfinity, to do the double and be in top tier equipment too with Joe Gibbs Racing is going to make it that Saturday just more, even more exciting for New England race fans. Seeing Bonsignor attempt that, because Bonsignor has a chance. Obviously, Bonsignor won the Mohegan Sun 100 last year by a half a car length over Doug Hobie as they were bumping and banging down the front stretch on the final lap. But he has a real shot to win at New Hampshire in the Xfinity Series and the modified race. But another thing, too, is since we're talking about double duty, obviously Ryan Preece, driving for Stuart Haas in that 41 car, he's racing in the modified tour race as well. And we also have a fan favorite. A lot of people liked him ever since the ARCA race at Daytona, is Andy Jankowiak. He is entered in as well. So I know for a fact that the Mohegan Sun 100 is probably going to be the best race of the weekend, because it usually is, because obviously that's their Daytona. It's their crown jewel event. They can do a lot of draft there, so like always, I think that's going to be the best race of the weekend. And on the Xfinity side, same thing. I mean, you have Carson Kuopel back up in the Xfinity Series for this weekend, driving the 88 car for Junior Motorsports. Obviously, short track legend. You have, you have all the full time guys, SVG, Jesse Love, but the people that are entered are two Cup Series guys, Christopher Bell, who is 3-for-3 in the Xfinity Series at New Hampshire.
Seriously.
And then driving that 17 car for Hendrix is Alex Bowman this week, who is someone that definitely needs work at New Hampshire.
I was going to say,
that's probably his worst track.
I was going to say, he's definitely joining to get better, get experience. It makes total sense.
And driving the 26 Sam Hunt car, as he did at Iowa, is Corey Heim. So a really star-studded Xfinity field. Obviously, I mentioned Justin Bonsignor, the 19. So, I think Saturday it just has a lot of talent in it from the modifieds to the Xfinity Series. Mm-hmm. And I think the Xfinity Series, at least the last few years that I've been going there, the Xfinity Series has put on some great racing. So I'm really looking forward to Saturday, because I always think Saturday is always usually the better race day.
For sure.
I mean, the Cup Series the last few years have been putting on a great race out loud, but you just can't beat Saturday, I think, because you got the doubleheader, and then you obviously have the modified race being the main event of it all now on Saturdays, but the Xfinity race is always really good because obviously they're under kind of a different package than the Cup cars are.
Right. Now, should be good on-track action for the big oval. My sister and I went there last night to check in on the camper and also just kind of walk around, and you could tell they were getting everything ready to rock and roll. And just want to give a quick shout out to New Hampshire Motor Speedway, because 7 days ago they were running the Loudon Classic on the road course, and they were able to turn over the entire facility during bike week, might I add, to get it ready for this weekend coming up. Because obviously last weekend, the Father's Day weekend, 15-16, was opening weekend for camping. So while they have bike week stuff going on the property, they're also opening up campgrounds to park people for the races. So well done by NHMS so far. They've been doing a great job. Let's talk about the event in general. Action at New Hampshire Motor Speedway racing action starts Friday night with the dirt duels. And this is awesome.
Chase Briscoe's in it.
For anybody listening at home, your general admission cost is $25 for three races. Mm-hmm. Then your pit admission,
the hole itself is about 5 hours, because you can go in for 25 is per practice, the heat races, and obviously the feet.
Well, I'm saying gates open for spectators at 4:00. So for $25, you can start hanging out at 4:00. Rolling practice starts at 4:15. Heat races at 5:20. 6:50 is when they have driver intros / pre-race ceremonies. And 7:00 is when the Granite State Mini Sprints 500s go. Then the Extreme Dirt Midget Association feature. Then the Granite State Mini Sprints 600. And then the Sprint Cars of New England feature is the one to end out the night. All at the dirt track. This track they built probably, 4 years ago?
Something like that.
And I remember there were a lot of people who were like, oh my goodness, what are they going to do? And I'll admit that during, when it's not NASCAR weekend, they don't use it much, which is a little bit of a bummer. But I will also say that during NASCAR weekend, this has become a staple of the weekend, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great that, you know, they give these people at the track an opportunity to go watch it. And I will tell you, there's a lot of people that just come from off the road into it. It's not just the campers. Mm-hmm. You know, they get everybody to show up and watch the race, and it's awesome.
You also have a lot of NASCAR drivers that aren't in it. Like Chase Briscoe's running in it because obviously he's the dirt racer. Mm. He won the Granite State, the Sprint Car feature last year. And is running in it again on Friday. And you have from what I've heard, a lot of NASCAR drivers, Cup Series, Xfinity, whatever, maybe modified, that would literally just chill out with the fans and the dirt, like a regular fan, and just watch the dirt tools, because it's a quarter mile flat track. It's, I mean, we didn't go last year, but a couple years ago when we went, it was awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
Because you have the Atlas Firework Display afterwards, pretty much right after the last feature is done. You have a concert, this year is the only, fun fact, the only Aerosmith cover band in the country.
Cool. But I mean, but that's also the other cool thing. You mentioned the fireworks, Atlas Fireworks. They have it going off, and even if we don't go to the race, you can still see it. Mm-hmm. And it's like awesome because you're sitting here watching from the campground the fireworks. Mm-hmm. Like, so even if you didn't go to the racetrack or races, you're still able to see it, which is awesome because then you're entertaining more than just the people watching the race. So it's just, I think it's a win-win overall. You know, they got, according to their website for entertainment, they have giant games. And this is from their website. Have some wicked big inflatable fun at the flat track Friday night with giant pong, giant cornhole, and a bounce house. So, like, they have New Hampshire Motor Speedway, in my opinion, and granted, I went to Daytona last year, so I saw how Daytona does it as well, so they do a great job as well. But, like, New Hampshire Motor Speedway does a great job at saying, hey, you know what? We're going to make it so that when you go to the race, whether it be to the dirt duels or the big track, there's also options for your kids who may not want to sit there for 5 hours watching race cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so great job by New Hampshire Motor Speedway. That's on Friday night. And then, of course, as you talked about.
The only thing that kind of sucks, though, is that it kind of overlaps. The practice and heat race overlap with the practice and the qualifying for the Xfinity Series and Modifieds.
So the Modified race, yeah, Xfinity's qualifying is, or, sorry, hold on. I accidentally went to Saturday. Hang on. Yeah, so Xfinity qualifying is at 4:35. That's when the gates open. And then qualifying for the mods are at 5:45, so they'd probably be done right at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Around that.
So that's when the features start.
So on paper, it lines up.
For the features, but obviously
getting from one place to another, yeah. So I could see where that is a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I will say, and I know this is going to come off worse than I mean it, but not a lot of people necessarily watch qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if it's on TV, I'll put it on.
Right.
And I'll have it on in the background while I'm doing things. You know, and same thing, like, on Saturday, maybe I'll go sit during qualifying for the Cup Series just to see the cars and have more.
I mean, I saw the whole practice and qualifying for Xfinity Modifieds last year, and there was actually a good chunk of people in the stands.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree, but I'm just saying that if you're going to have to make a decision where you have a little bit of an overlay, the amount of people who are going to sit in the grandstands for modified racing might not necessarily, like, maybe a quarter of them will go to the dirt track. The rest of them will go back to their campgrounds.
Right.
You know, and then the amount of people going to the dirt track, maybe a quarter of them, maybe less, are going to also want to go to the grandstands to watch qualifying. Now, if you put the modified race on the big oval and it overlapped the dirt race, then you have an issue.
Yeah.
But because it's kind of
the modified race is on Saturday anyway.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying, in general, like, if you had, like, that, like, a race in a race, then you have an issue. But because it's qualifying, I think you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, regardless, should be a great weekend. I know we don't really have the time to get into it right now, but I know that there's a boatload of driver appearances. Awesome.
And weather.
Let's talk about weather, okay?
Just because it's humid. As
hang on.
Many of you probably.
Oh my gosh!
Just in case for our audience
and
that don't
you
live
and the humidity.
Just in case that we'll also have a historic heat wave that's coming.
Okay, well,
happening
that
this week. So, like, which is the reason why there's a chance of rain every single day.
All right, so here we go. Looking at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna go right from Thursday.
Yeah.
All right, because right now, Tuesday, Wednesday, excessive heat, right? But yeah, let's talk
that,
about...
That warning comes ends Thursday night, yes, or whatever day.
So,
time,
actually, you know what? Let's start Thursday night. So Thursday will be mostly sunny and hot, high near 97. Your Thursday night weather will be around 71 degrees, mostly cloudy. Now here's the racing part. Friday, a chance of showers between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., partly sunny and hot with a high near 91. Chance of precipitation, 50%. Friday night, a chance of showers and storms, mostly cloudy, lows around 64. Chance of precipitation, 30. So real quick, very basic science lesson here. That's why you have your storms. You're going from 91 to 65.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm not saying that to you, Jordan. I'm just saying in general, that's where your issue is, because now you have a cold front coming in and the hot air's here and they're going to clash. And when that clash happens, you get weather.
Well, I think even...
We'll talk Saturday and Sunday in a second, but keep going.
I think it's even supposed to do that on Thursday. I think it's going from 92 to going right down to 65.
It said Thursday 71. So still down 20 degrees.
It's still 20 degrees lower.
But it's not as drastic as 30, which is what I was saying.
Right. So, and actually, the chance of precipitation actually went up for Thursday. So 78, it's 80% chance now on AccuWeather. Mm. So would you say NOAA said on Thursday?
Didn't say any precipitation on Thursday.
WMUR says there's ice. When you have everybody saying different, you really don't know.
My opinion is I would trust NOAA over all the other little sites, because that's what we use for DPPG, and it's usually dead on. But I know everybody checks their own stuff, and I get it. Saturday, by the way, Saturday night and Sunday, all 40% chance of showers. Saturday, 86 degrees. Saturday night, 63 degrees. Sunday, 84 degrees, and then Sunday night, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high around, or mostly cloudy, around 63.
What, on Saturday?
On Sunday night. And then Monday, showers likely, cloudy, with a high near 83, chance of precipitation, 60%. Of course, that
on
is
Sunday?
That's Monday. That's 6 days away. So really, here's what I'm going to say, and I know some people are going to understand this, and some people are going to be like, what does that mean? You're dealing with Florida type weather.
Yeah.
Where it's hot and humid, and it just creates that possibility of a pop-up thunderstorm here and there. And again, or pop-up thunderstorm and rain. And again, it could be where here in Loudoun, it's raining, and in Belmont, it's sunny, or vice versa.
Right.
So that's why if anybody out there saying they're sitting there going, well, maybe I won't go. No, still go. Because there's a chance we're still going to race.
Well, what'd you say NOAA said for the chance of rain on Saturday?
40%.
Yeah, AccuWeather says just considerable cloudiness. So, I mean, WMUR says differently. So, like, it's unknown. I think, the most rain it says we're supposed to get is now coming Thursday during the day, where it says 0.3 inches. I don't know how much of the time frame that is. I assume that's throughout the whole day. I'm always dumb, so I don't know if 0.3 inches is a lot.
Yeah, see, like, I don't know, because it just says... So first of all, it says we have a heat advisory until tonight at 8 p.m., and then just excessive heat on Wednesday through Thursday.
Okay.
So tonight's the heat advisory. That's what NOAA is saying, at least. So,
see, this is what also ready. It says for Thursday, because we're talking about Thursday, because that's when me and you are getting to the track, Devin. Mm-hmm. It says a 70% chance of rain, a couple of heavy afternoon thunderstorms, rain probability 77%, rain amount 0.3 inches, which I don't know if that's a lot.
Depends on
the time frame of it. But it says average cloud cover is 45%. And this is for Loudoun. So it says we won't even have 50% of the sky clouds. And it's 80% chance of rain. So I don't know. But the good thing is, after Thursday, it's going to be as high as 86, which is hot. But it's not what today, tomorrow, and Thursday are, when it's almost 100 degrees.
Right. Yeah, I mean... So last year we ran on Monday, It was supposed to rain on Saturday. It never did.
And Friday.
It never did. Unfortunately, we're in that weather pattern. That's just, and again, I said Florida, but in general, heat, humid, where it's just unsettled.
Mm-hmm. And I think
the way New Hampshire's laid out geographically, you could have a line of storms come across and then hit a mountain and break off. And right. then now you have two different things. And guess what? The racetrack's right in the middle. So never
and I think rain. I think with how, and obviously with the humidity and the heat, it always brings storms anyway, or there's always a chance, I should say.
Yeah.
Let's say if it were to rain Thursday, if it rains Thursday, it'll cool down things more. Mm-hmm. So the chance of rain will probably go away for the next 3 days after.
Or make it more humid.
That's
so
too.
That's the other thing. So right. It's like it's so hit or miss. It's all about the atmosphere upstairs, and it's tough.
Right.
It's tough.
Yes, it is.
So... All right. So any other thoughts going into this weekend? Actually, you know what? Real quick, for the Cup Series, give me your top three.
Christopher Bell.
I was going to say, it doesn't have to be winners or in any specific order.
Christopher Bell, Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Blaney.
I'm going to throw out Kyle Larson because he seems to be good everywhere.
Yeah.
I like Denny Hamlin. He's usually pretty solid at the racetrack.
Yeah.
And... I'm going to say Kyle Busch, to be honest. And not to say, like, he's a long shot, but, like, Kyle's good at New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Is his equipment good? I don't know. But...
Are we doing the Xfinity Series? I got Xfinity Series top three.
I was going to say I'm not going to because I don't know enough about it.
I'll do Xfinity Series top three. Christopher Bell.
That's it.
Christopher Bell, top three. Christopher Bell, Justin Allgaier, because Junior Motorsports is really good at New Hampshire.
True.
Bell, Allgaier, Jesse Love. Actually, no. Carson Kuoppel.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he's run really good on the short track for the Xfinity Series already. So
throw in Love as an alternate.
Yeah. yeah.
That third place alternate.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think it's going to be a good weekend.
In the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour top three? No, I'm just kidding.
I think overall the next-gen car, if there is a racetrack that the next-gen car has actually kind of helped.
It's New Hampshire.
It's New Hampshire. Because it's just they've been really good races in the near past. And, you know, I think that overall it's been really good. I'm excited to see what this weekend brings. And of course, on the camping side of things, I'm excited to see, you know, just in hanging out with friends and everything. Because DPPG is covering an event on Saturday, but guess what?
Devin is not going.
He's sending a crew.
So if the weather impacts Saturday enough where we don't race Saturday, blame Devin. Because he wasn't there the last 2 years and it was all good.
Somehow that's going to be my fault. All right. Well, Jordan, any other final thoughts here before we...
No.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, real quick, just want to say thank you to...
Except that Todd Gilliland's running a pickle car on Sunday.
Just want to quickly give a shout out to Cassie Contagiani at 603 United and as well as 603 United for allowing us to use their space to record our weekly podcast. We apologize for the last couple of weeks not being here. I realized we missed Sonoma and we missed... Was that it? We missed one more, didn't we?
I don't even know. Yeah, we missed the week before as well because we missed SVG's two road course wins in Xfinity.
Oh, back that's to back. Right. It was Portland. They were running out in Portland. And
where was the Cup that weekend?
I don't know.
St. Louis.
That's it. Gateway. So two really good races. Apologies for missing it. We should be... hopefully able to do some stuff more consistently coming up. But, hey, for Jordan Jenkins, want to say thank you so much for tuning in. My name's Devin Poslesny. Don't forget to go follow our social media accounts as well as just keep tabs on us. Who knows, maybe DPP or Racing Hotspots Instagram account might be a little active this weekend. We'll see. But once again, he's Jordan Jenkins. I'm Devin Poslesny. Thanks for listening to Racing Hotspot. We'll see you soon.